The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty, turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys.
Guys, yeah, we're a bit giddy coming off of our weekend, our Thanksgiving Skate America weekend. I'm exhausted. Johnny is...
I can barely keep my eyes open.
Overly giggly.
Yeah, I'm essentially giggling just to keep from crying at this point. I got weighed this morning at the doctor, and it weren't pretty. Really disappointed.
I saw your tweet. Of the cow getting weighed.
The cow in a sling. That's how I feel today. And guys, don't worry. The doctor went fine. Everything's under control. It was just a checkup of a little thing that has popped up. And I'm fine. But they weighed me. And
health
I walked
corner.
In. Health check from Tara
health
and Johnny.
Health check, that was it. Not health corner.
Health check.
Health check.
We should do health corner with a K.
We can do health check and just do it C-H-E-K. Just forget the other C.
Okay,
and
good.
Capital
yeah,
K at the end.
Way too many C's. So I went in and it was a new doctor that I was seeing. And, you know, they have all these lovely ladies running around nursing. And the one that got me was kind of surly. And she was like, get on the scale. And I said, do I need to take anything off or, you know,
like, let me take my necklace and rings off just because I know that affects the overall weight.
She's like,
I'm chewing
no,
gum.
Just get
let
on.
Let me spit that out.
Yeah. I could blow my nose once before I hop on there. So I basically stripped down to my underpants and then things got really real. And, I'm going to have to join Overeaters Anonymous. And yeah, because I mean, guys, we were in Lake Placid and we were eating at awkward times. I was really into a like buttery Reuben sandwich and
from
pretzels. From
Generations
restaurant and lounge nightclub of Lake Placid. But let's kind of go back to the very beginning, a very good place to start.
Well, let me tell you about my travel day yesterday because we don't want to dampen the mood once we get rolling on our weekend. Yesterday was a travel day from hell.
I'll tell you about mine after yours.
Couldn't be worse than mine, okay? So we wake up at...
I peed myself and found aliens in my bag.
Okay.
Was yours worse than that?
I mean, on par. So we woke up at 4 because Lake Placid is a bit tricky to get to. And it's about a 2.5 hour drive to Montreal where we were flying out. And we flew in from Montreal. It took us 2 hours to get in through traffic, the border, all of that. And so we wake up. We leave at 4 a.m. because I have an 8 a.m. flight. And busy.
And
so
it's
busy,
an international
I need
flight.
To get home.
Meanwhile, guys, I'm going to do full disclosure. Todd wasn't on a flight until like 12 in the afternoon and still was a true husbanding champ.
Wait till you
and
hear
got
what
up
he
with
did.
Her.
Okay, so.
Oh, no.
No, he was good. So we get in the car. I'm falling asleep. I wake up and it's like 6 and I'm like, why aren't we at the airport yet? And Todd's groggy. We're falling asleep. We don't really know what's happening. Then all of a sudden we get we pull over into a Tim Hortons, a Canadian staple over there. And he's like, okay, guys, so I'm late for an appointment at 7.
What?
We're going to just switch you into this car right here. So we switch drivers. We switch cars. We put all our luggage over there. I'm confused because I'm like, wait, 7? Like, how is it now 3? It was a 4-hour drive. Don't know where we went. Don't know. I don't understand what happened. Okay. Missed my flight. At 8 a.m.
Dear God.
Uh-huh. I tried to check in and they're like, I'm sorry, it's closed. Sorry. I was like, I was there at like 7:20.
Well, you were in Canada, so it was, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. No. And you know how frustrating that is when it's like 7:35, 7:40, and you're like, I still have 20 minutes. I could have made it.
No, ma'am, not in Canada. You can't make that.
So then we're like, what other, I'm sorry, all flights are sold out. Literally every flight, every airline, we checked different airports close by if I was going to have to drive to Burlington. Like
back into America, another border crossing.
Every flight was booked because of, I mean, obviously it's a busy travel weekend.
Right.
And I was just like, I don't know what to do. So we went to the Marriott at the hotel, and finally a flight opened at 6 p.m. that evening.
Oh my God.
Right. And so all day long, we just chilled at the Marriott. And guess what? Todd was amazing. Cause he's
like, did he skip his flight that he was supposed to be on, like, to sit with you?
Yeah. He's like, I don't want to like have you sit here all day alone. So I'm going to take a different flight. And his flight really sucked because he was leaving at like the same time I was. But then he had like a 4-hour layover in JFK. And then and then unfortunately, like when we're taking off, he was like, oh, great. It was delayed another hour. So he left me. I was already home and he was still just getting to JFK, and then had like he came in at like 2:30 in the morning. I mean,
oh my God.
Husband of the year. I was like, I still am trying to think of, like, I unpacked his suitcase and I'm like trying to make up to him like this horrible travel day. So maybe
he's
I'll
racked
do something
up a
nice.
Lot of
I'll
spooning.
Try to cook.
Yeah.
And burn something today for him. But and then in the
here,
middle.
Todd, enjoy this grilled cheese.
It's burnt.
With chicken. Burned grilled cheese with chicken on top.
You can't see it. But the funniest thing was, we get on the plane and then someone was like sick like across from us. And I was like, oh my God, they're going to have to land the plane. And thankfully it was just a panic attack. So we kept on flying, hit some rough
after they
turbulence.
Duct taped the person to their seat, that sort of thing. Sorry, guys, it's not really that funny, but it is kind of. Like, have you seen those images on the internet of unruly passengers that are either wasted or having panic attacks, and they wrap them in seat belts to their seat?
Helen, that's horrible.
Yeah, I'm going to send you some. They're really fantastic.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
Luckily, I haven't seen that before, but...
yeah, so anyway, that was my travel day.
That sounds horrific.
And it was.
Mine pales in comparison. I was just really tired because I left early in the morning, and Terry was actually flying back to L.A., but he flew with me to Philadelphia first. So I wish you guys had been on that flight.
I know.
but anyway, we get in the car, and I am not a talkative traveler, as we've talked about, even with my friends, even with Terry. Like, one of the blessed moments of my life was when we were coming back from Rio and there was a partition between you and I, just so I didn't have to talk to you for, you know, 9 hours. Yeah, I'm just, you know, you're welcome. I'm just not a good travel talker, and I'm not excited to be traveling. I love you. But so Sarah just got so angry. But anyway, I decided that I was going to pass out in the back of this SUV. Terrence stayed up to make sure that the driver did not drive all over the Adirondacks looking for the Montreal airport. We flew out of Albany, of course, because why go in and out of the country twice if you don't have to?
Okay, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
What an idiotic choice you made. Anyway, 2 hours to Albany, we made it. I was barely alive because the weekend was just... long, and we'll get into the skating.
Arduous.
It was an arduous. There was a lot of weird stuff that happened. But anyway, I was exhausted. And being cute and perky, I don't know how Kelly Ripa does it, but, you know, trying to do that for an entire weekend. I'm glad we had it so we're trained for Korea. But wow, I was just really spent. And then we got to the airport in Albany, and then I landed in Philadelphia, and that's like a 30-minute flight. And I landed, and there was no car there, and the old guy had parked in the wrong place, and then I felt bad, and then he tried to lift my suitcases into his trunk, which, you know, is always sort of a mixed bag of emotion. A feat, because they're big and bulky and heavy, and, you know, his sciatica acted up, and he had to wait and, like, rub his leg before he started driving. He's already, like, an hour late to get me. Anyway, so that was my travel day, guys. Travel from hell. Lake Placid is a beautiful place, but real hard to get to, so make sure that you're ready for that.
It is. I mean, should we take it back to the dog show now that we went through our travel day?
Well, I mean, let's take... that was Thanksgiving Day. So,
what's
happened?
We talked about the dog show, though, last week.
Yeah, we talked about the dog show, and people were really excited about it. No, let's talk about Thanksgiving. I was Queen of Detroit.
Right.
And I wore a very aggressive sort of cream outfit with big furry shoulders.
Queen of Detroit.
The Queen of Detroit. And it was the funniest thing because I was just sitting in the back of like a Mustang convertible waving at people. And sometimes when you... you know me best, but sometimes I feel like when I'm egged on or I'm included in some way, I can take it too far.
Yeah.
So I started to get bored sitting in the back of this car just waving at people. And you and I talked about how I did like the Queen wave, the Queen Elizabeth of England wave. And then I did the Queen wave, which was, you know, the jazz hands gay wave, which is just really boisterous and fluffy.
I just kept asking Johnny to show me every time I needed it, a little pick-me-up. I was like, give me both waves. Yep. It would be like the Queen wave and then the Queen wave.
The Queen wave. And then, you know, there's the kid wave when you like crunch your hands into claws and just move your fingers at them because they're so short. And then, you know, I started to get bored. So then this marching band behind us would play some of the greatest hits, like that Justin Timberlake song from The Trolls. And so clap along if you did that song.
Don't know that.
You know, I hate that song because I will choose when I'll want to be happy. Don't you tell me, Pharrell. I'll be happy when I damn well please. Anyway, I just got really into it. And, you know, it's Detroit and it was cold and I was bored. So I just started dancing and they were about 20 seconds away from getting full on Khalees milkshake video. Me on the back of this Mustang if the parade hadn't ended to keep myself warm. But I was in Detroit and then I flew directly on Thanksgiving. I had like a lonely soup in the airport. And in Detroit, and then flew to Albany, and then did a nighttime car ride to Lake Placid. I would have preferred.
And then you had some turkey at your hotel.
I did. So
you know how I know?
Because you inspected my room service tray.
So we have adjoining rooms, guys, as you probably already know. And one of my favorite things is when I come back to the hotel or whatever. Johnny's just arriving, and we haven't seen each other. I always feel this like, you know, immediate comfort when I see the tray outside his room with the napkin over all of his food. He doesn't like to like put his food on display after it's over. And I'm like, he's home. He's home. Yeah. And so Todd and I were like, what did he eat? So yeah, of course, we were those people that lifted up the little napkin. We were like, oh, he had a full turkey dinner.
I did. I had soup. I mean, I had buckwheat soba soup in the Detroit airport. So I was like, I'm going to need some turkey. So there I am pre-calling this hotel. You know, again, I refer you back to I got weighed this morning. So now all bets are off. So good luck ever seeing a room service tray again. But I was just like, yeah, like I would love some turkey. And they were only selling portions for like two people because it's a hotel and they have a really limited menu on a holiday because, you know, it's a holiday. The people that work in the hotel need to go home and have their own turkey dinner. So I had my turkey and I had some stuffing and a lot of carrots, but they gave me enough food for two people.
I
just kind of ate and I figured you guys were out celebrating, so I wasn't going to bother you. And also I appreciate that nobody knocked on the adjoining room.
No, I figured.
While mommy was coming down.
Yeah, it's time for Jay to sleep. But Todd and his family, his mom and dad, my parents came in. We came in Wednesday and it was really fun because we went to Mirror Lake Inn, which is the hotel I used to stay at for Stars and Ice. So when I toured for many, many years with Stars and Ice, it was tradition that we would we'd usually do 3 weeks of rehearsal in September in Simsbury every single year without fail. And then we'd go to Lake Placid over Thanksgiving. And we have two more weeks of final rehearsals. And then we would do our opening show and then go home for Christmas and then get back on the road. But it brought back so many memories of being on tour. Like Katarina wrote me on Instagram, like every time I would like do something on my Insta story of like, oh, the SOI memories. So I was really living in that. So I was like, we have to go back to the Mirror Lake Inn where we stayed. And you walk down these like little cute stone steps to right on the lake. And they have this like cute little bar with a fireplace and it brought all the memories back. So we did that. And then it was just really fun. Like that night we walked back, it was snowing. It was, you know, living in LA and leaving on a Wednesday and it was 82 degrees. And then finally going where there is a, you know, a season
Narnia
of winter. It was amazing. So I love Lake Placid. The town's so clean. It's just like this one little, you know, strip, just Main Street.
One street.
And that's it. Our hotel was really nice. Like, everyone who worked there was so sweet. But I did have a lot of trouble, and usually I'm pretty good. I had so much trouble sleeping, and it was, like, horrible.
The bed was not comfortable. I had trouble. Last night, getting in my own bed, it was, like, paradise visited.
It really was. But every night I was having climate control issues. So they had this...
It's an old hotel, guys. So they had separate air conditioning and heating units in the room.
Right.
Plus in the bathroom was not plugged into any of the actual room temperature control. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Climate control. So there was a separate sort of wall heater in the bathroom. There was a big tub.
You have a fireplace that you could use, or, you know, you could burn, which
like
was nice.
Like those Duraflame logs.
So I felt like I was Goldilocks, because the first night we come in and it's freezing, and Todd's like, he couldn't take his coat off. And I like to sleep in the cold. So I was like, yeah, but you know, I get real hot. Like, maybe we just leave it like this, and when we come back, we'll put on the heat. So we come back and I am frozen, and we forget to put on the heat. And so I am like, I just still don't know if I want to put on the heat, because I know I won't sleep with heat. So I was like, I'll tough it out. But literally throughout the night, why I'm so dense that I actually just wouldn't go and turn on the heat, I just kept adding clothes. So I had like my nightgown, then I put on like thermals, and I was like, oh, I just have my fleece onesie somewhere, and then I have like an overcoat and socks. Like, I woke up
parka.
And Todd looked at me, he's like, what are you wearing? So that night I didn't sleep because of that. And then the next night we're like, no, we got it. We're going to do the fireplace, and instead of the heat, that will work. So we did the fireplace, and then it got so hot that at 2 a.m. I was standing out in my underwear with like my arms straight out, just trying to like breathe in the freezing cold Lake Placid air. Just I stood out there, like, thank God I was facing the lake. No one could see me, but I was out there a solid 15 minutes because...
Yeah, just boobs out.
I was so hot. And it was interesting. And then the next night we tried the heat, but the heat doesn't do like a normal heat thing. It just gives you puffs every 10 minutes. So it'd be like quiet, and then all of a sudden it just like... You would think a train's coming through your room.
Yeah, it was very intense. And my room was really hot. And you know when it's cold and you're afraid, especially now that we use our voices so much, because we're commentatrices. No, we use our voices so much that you really have to take care. And, you know, everyone jokes with me, especially over here in the East, when it gets to 60, you know, the furs and scarves come out. And I wrap my throat up every day, and I just get real nervous that I'm going to get a scratchy voice, because I already don't have the most appealing voice in the whole world, at least to me.
Oh, so, I love your voice.
Well, thanks. But, you know, it's like I want to protect it. It's my job. My face and my voice now are my main things, not my thighs as much anymore. So I want to protect it. So I had my room real, real hot. And it was killer, and I couldn't sleep. We slept poorly, and maybe that's why we're so exhausted.
Maybe
might not just be the skating.
Right. So skating was crazy, guys, this weekend. I don't know if you watched, but if not, we can give you a little recap. It was a very strange event, right, Jay? Like, I feel like I haven't seen a Skate America like that in a long time.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was all just weird. Like, me personally, Tara loves Lake Placid, and there's good memories from Stars on Ice rehearsal and blah, blah, blah. I'm not a huge fan of Lake Placid simply because my first coach skated there and was obsessed with Lake Placid, and we would go often. And then my first manager...
Wait, to train?
To just go for a weekend, or if there was a competition there or a show, we would do it. My first manager, she was all about Lake Placid, so I would get booked to Lake Placid. And it's annoying to get to, and I'm all for a quaint village, but I like a quaint village that's close to a Whole Foods or a quaint village that's near something.
Right.
That desolate, crazy 3 hours to get to an airport to run from the zombie revolution is not appealing to me. And, and Lake Placid is not my favorite place. but I felt like the skaters had that same like small mountain town mentality for the weekend. Like, everyone was just sort of trapped in this town. And
weird shit started happening. Oops.
Yeah.
Can you bleep me on that?
Okay, so let's start, I guess, with the boys. Hopefully you guys tuned in and could be a part of this. So this might be old hat at this point, but we'll give you a little bit more insight since we aren't regulated by TV time.
So what was the first thing that happened? The judging, like the system went down?
Well, no. So the first thing that happened was there was a skater from Israel, Daniel Samohin.
Oh, that was scary.
And he fell on the first two jumps in his program, and then he somehow dislocated his shoulder. And he was sitting like the Coca-Cola bear in the middle of the ice, just like punching his arm, trying to get his shoulder to go back into place. And it was awful.
Everyone knows that I don't like, you know, syndromes, injuries, whatever it is.
Syndromes especially.
So when this happens, I mean, Johnny sometimes has to take – I get very upset. It's like when I'm watching TV and I watch – Todd laughs at me for basketball because anyone that gets injured or football, like I get very upset. And when this happens.
Well, there's also that reaction when you put yourself in their shoes because you were also an athlete and can be there with them. Anyway, continue.
So I go into like try not to speak Tara, but in my head, I'm just like, oh, my God, get up. Make sure that goes back in. Like whatever's happening, fix it, fix it. And so Johnny has to sometimes take over because I'm just my mouth agape hoping that this boy is okay.
Yeah. I mean, meanwhile, we'll get to more skating. But meanwhile, remember, guys, we're on live television. So it's really easy to sit and watch skating and start to have those moments where you kind of zone out and you're just part of the audience and you realize, oh, I'm on national television
right.
And it's live. I have to say something. So when things like that happen and they're unexpected, like Daniel and several other moments that we'll get to, not only are we kind of thrown off because as commentators, you can't speculate. You can't look. Even though his shoulder was, you know, jacked up from the time he fell and we could see that, you can't predict what happened to him because then you're ultimately giving fake news. Sorry to say it. Sorry to use that term.
Right.
But you're giving fake news. So you can't really speculate as to what happened, but you have to find a way to talk around what people are watching in their living rooms at home and be like, oh, well, it looks like he possibly did something to his shoulder, but this is the regulation. He has to go to the referee, blah, blah, blah. Like, we have to know all those rules, and we're not used to having to call play-by-play of someone sitting in the middle of the ice.
And so all you awkward. See is, you know, you're watching it live, and then you have three huge screens in front of you just watching the skater in pain. So it was a scary moment, but I guess he went to the hospital. Was it a separated shoulder or just, I can't remember.
I can't remember what they said,
but
he had done it before,
hopefully.
Apparently. He's fine. But also like while this is all happening, you're not only scrambling, but you have an entire production team in your ears through the headsets also freaking out because they're on NBC live in the middle of the afternoon on a holiday weekend, figuring out if they should go right to break or if they should stay and wait for the action and what. There are sponsors that have commercials that you have to get to, and there's this and that. So the producer's job is really, really hard. So there are times when they'll come on and be like, okay, 45 seconds, and then all of a sudden it changes to 10 seconds, and they start counting down 10, 9, but when you go to break.
Yeah, you're like, huh?
Because, yeah, so that happened. There were these crazy flies in the building there in Lake Placid.
Oh, yes. Was that the short program? I can't remember now.
They were all over. And apparently there's this fly infestation. Now, if you guys didn't watch, Lake Placid Arena is where the Miracle on Ice happened in 1980, where the United States hockey team beat the Soviet Union.
Lots of amazing history.
The Sonja Henie won the Olympics there in 1932. Like, it's a really old ice skating complex. So I guess there's, like, old stuff that happens. And I guess one of those things is that flies live there.
So one of the skaters, before they, you know, it was in the middle of the competition. He takes the ice. They call your name. You're supposed to go right to your position. All of a sudden, he's sort of sweeping and cleaning up the ice. And we have no idea what he's picking up. But he's picking up, you know, I don't know if they're alive
dead
flies.
Well, certainly
so
half
strange.
Dead at least. The flies kept attacking us. They would come up like while we were doing our on cameras and fly in front of the lights, and they were slow. And you know, Gannon, despite being a big strong man, he gets scared of a drunk looking fly.
It was so strange though because we were in an arena. That's not like something you usually deal with. It's not like we were outdoors.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there are nests or something. Who knows?
So that happened. But yeah. Then the judging.
The computers failed.
The computers failed. So we're waiting for scores. And the next skater cannot go out until they fix it. So, I mean, good thing it took about, 5 minutes? But it could have been 20. And we would still be on television.
National live television. Yeah. So it's real stressful for everyone that's involved to make these TV shows happen. And then Adam Rippon was cleaning up the flies before he skated. And then he skated. And his first jump, he dislocated his shoulder. But he continued on. He was able to pop it back into place and continue on. And he was great. And then Nathan Chen.
He had an amazing, guys, even if you're not, super skating fans, Nathan Chen, Adam Rippon, these are names you should know going into nationals, because when you listen to the podcast, we force you to at least tune in to the national championships and the Olympics. I don't know if you saw that in your contract when you subscribed, but that is what's going to happen. But anyway.
When you joined Fan Corner,
you didn't know it.
It's like applying for a green card, and in a year or two, you'll be allowed to live in Fan Corner, but only if you pass the test. Like, who is Nathan Chen? Who cuts Nathan Chen's hair? Like, those kind of questions are going to be on the test.
Exactly. But anyway, Adam was insanely great. It was, there was really good skating. It just a lot of weird moments were happening.
Weird stuff. And then that continued on to the ladies. But we'll get into that as soon as we're back.
Bear keeps the rivers clean.
They're better than you've ever seen. Care Bears care around the world, new Care Bears. We love them so.
You love a lot Bear, Friend Bear, and Share Bear, each sold separately.
So back to Skate America, Johnny. Let's tell the people.
Okay, so then the men's event was really up and down, and it's really hard as commentators to kind of flow when that many things are going wrong, right? Like, we prepare and we know the skaters and we know stats and we know how to call the elements and stuff, but there are moments that just throw everything off.
Right. You just don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be some form of a schedule and a direction that the shows go, because it's a TV show. It may be a two-hour TV show, but it's still a TV show. So all the parts have to flow together correctly, and it's really hard to, like, take a break. No, we're not taking a break. Stay here. It's really hard to stay on top of that. And with that said, let's get into the ladies, because I was kind of a victim of, not a victim, I say, but, there was a little problem that happened, and there was some nasty Twitter reaction to me saying something about a skater that had to withdraw. Ashley Wagner withdrew mid-program. And because of that, our scheduling got thrown way off. And I thought it was that situation when we had 45 seconds and I was going to have a really good thought and say something very perfect and beautiful.
Like when you called a skater a mop because you couldn't finish your thought about why the skater was resembling a mop. You just didn't have time. We were off air.
Yeah, exactly. So we were real close to some cat food commercial or Sarah McLachlan with the homeless animals. And Ashley Wagner was having this, really tumultuous and hard time on the ice. And I wanted to say that in my experience, you should either withdraw before the competition or push through, because I've made the mistake before of withdrawing mid-performance, and it looks bad on you, and it looks really upsetting to your fans and the people that are supporting you. So I wanted to say that, but then in my ear, it was getting to be 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and we were just getting counted to commercial really quickly, and I misspoke, and to anyone that was offended by what I said, because, kettle black, I apologize to you guys. But anyway, the ladies' event was pretty wild. Tara predicted a new Olympic champion, essentially.
Guys, Terry and Johnny were giving me so much crap about this, because I do. I love sometimes if I get the feeling, I love to put a little prediction out there. And all week long, I was watching Brady Tennell, and I was like, she's going to do really well here. And nobody is kind of watching or knowing it, because it was our first senior Grand Prix event ever. And there's just so much talk going into an Olympic season of faces and names that you are and that you're familiar with, and Brady Tinnell isn't one of them. So I, before she started her short program, started predicting that she's going to be on the Olympic team. And then now Terry and Johnny love when I do these predictions, and they just take it 10 steps too far. So then they're like, oh, you're now crowning Brady Tinnell as the new Winter Olympic champion.
Oh, Brady Tinnell's going to be the new president? Is that what you said?
So that's what I deal with.
Yeah, Tara makes a bold statement, and she loves predicting. And when things go really right, like Nathan Chen, you know, we can be like, oh, well, maybe she's Yoda. Maybe Tara knows some things that we don't know. Maybe she can see the future. When she will. So, you know, Tara sometimes makes really good predictions, but sometimes she makes bad predictions
That's true.
She chooses a restaurant and it's bad.
Never let me choose a restaurant.
So you can't really trust her, but she'll make these bold statements. And then Terry and I just kind of have to go with it. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting ladies' competition. The my champion prediction failed. Polina Tsorskaya, she's maybe a third spot on the Russian team. Who knows, for the Olympics? She didn't win, and that's what I was predicting. And Tara's Brady Tinnell didn't win either.
No, but, you know, I was not really predicting Brady to win. I was actually, we were on the same page with Polina after Ashley looked to be having some issues at this event. And I'll be honest, I think they kind of judged Polina a bit harshly in that free skate, but that's just me.
They certainly did. They sure did. So, guys, politically, the Grand Prix, each country gets to choose who gets to go to that event. You get a pool of skaters, and then they seed them. So the skaters who are the top three at the World Championships, they don't put them head-to-head in their Grand Prix events until the Grand Prix final. And then they go down to the next three, so places four through six and so on. So you can get a pretty good idea of, you know, countries selecting weaker fields so that their skater will for sure, you know, be victorious or at least have a medal. And you can see the politics at play when the Grand Prix selections come out. And the Americans had a pretty easy road to win this event. And, you know, an American didn't win. But Brady Tinnell, Tara's, you know, choice for president, came in for the bronze.
Can we switch subjects? Because I feel like we're talking way too much figure skating.
It's way too much figure skating.
There's a lot. I was thinking that we should talk about maybe Christmas.
Christmas?
Yeah. So I want our listeners to maybe help us. You know, or you don't have to worry about this, but help me with some gift ideas. I always struggle with the dad gift. I don't know if other people out there have the same problem. I don't know what to get my father. Last year, he's a big fisherman, so I got him this new rod that he wanted, and he told me about
the rod.
And it was easy because it was something he said, oh, I really want this. So it's like done and done. This year, of course, no, nothing, Tara. I don't need anything. And so I just don't know really what to get him. So, guys, I was thinking possibly, you know, those earbuds, because I think Todd wants some of those. What is it? Is it Bose or Bose, right?
Bose.
The B-O-S-E one?
The B-O-E-S-E.
I'm
Bose.
Pronouncing it right? Okay.
Yeah.
He
it's
wants
actually
some
pronounced
of those.
Bose. Yeah, it's such a complicated one, honey. Bose.
Well, I didn't know if it was
is it Bose or Bossy or Bose? What is it? Oh <my God. laughs> No, it's just Bose.
Never mind. So I know Todd wants some of those headphones, but I was thinking maybe since my dad finally, so my dad still has a flip phone, guys. And for work, he has his iPhone, but he still won't get rid of his flip phone. But I was thinking at least for the iPhone, maybe getting him those like wireless earbuds. So if anyone has good recommendations for those or something to
that
get my
like
father,
that sounds like a stupid present.
Just let me know because he's not on social media and he won't see you guys giving me these gift suggestions. I will get him something. I'm going to get him something really cool. Like I think I'm going to do some album from the wedding and things like that. But I want to get him a cool gift and I just don't know what it is. So I'm sending my plea out to the listeners.
I can have a coat made for him.
Yeah.
I know a guy, yeah. If you like. But I to interrupt dad gift, hashtag dad gift, dad fan call gift. Dad
fan
gift.
Help.
Now how do you pronounce Bose again? Is it Bossy? Is it Boise? Bose? So Tara, she really entertains me lately because her phone is broken and I'm not sure what happened precisely to it. But the photographs only work in selfie mode. She can't actually hold her phone and take a picture of a landscape or anything.
No.
She technically has to be in the picture right now because the camera won't flip to shoot forward. It only shoots backwards.
Right.
So it's hilarious when she's either, you know, doing stuff where she normally would be kind of pointing and shooting. Meanwhile, she's like getting herself in. She could be at the Forbidden City in China, taking full-on
and
selfie
my blonde
panoramic.
Hair will be in it. In every photo.
It's hilarious. So I'm hopeful that she gets her new iPhone. Yeah,
I ordered it, so we'll see.
Yeah, I was looking because I need a new phone because mine is breaking, which I think all the phone companies do on purpose when they come out with a new model because mommy believes in conspiracies. And they just want my money. They don't really care if I live long and prosper. But anyway, it's like a 3 to 4 week waiting period for like an $1,100 phone. How is that?
I don't know. Todd already got his, but I'm still waiting.
Is it nice?
He likes it. I mean,
like, can we get him on the podcast to do a full review of it?
Maybe.
Can you call him down
to
the studio?
We really need to get Todd back on the podcast at a certain point.
I think Todd Kapp really, you know, gets it up to here with us when we're together for too long. I think the whole weekend, Todd was just kind of like...
teeth chattering?
Teeth chattering, yeah.
He loves us.
Oh, but we finally figured out what Todd Kapp's spirit animal
is. Oh, yes. You know, we've always been like sort of debating what it was. What, is he a fox? Is he...
Is he some sort of antelope or a moose or a sable?
No, I was watching Happy Feet on the flight home yesterday and I text Johnny and I was like... I know what Todd Kapp is. He's the main character from Happy Feet.
Woohoo!
It is him to a T. So,
yeah. Because Todd has big, sort of paddly sort of feet when he walks. And he's just slim. So, you know, he looks a little bit like Gumby, you know, that sort of similar shape. But he's got a big foot. So, he's like a penguin.
I know. You would think he like, his feet are so big, you'd think he'd like be like 6'10.
Yeah. You know, he's just, what, 6'4"?
He's just, you know, short. No, just kidding. anyways, Johnny, I think that's it for today. We talked a lot of skating. And
we have to get into Fan Corner. Fan Corner. Yes, so we do. And let's start with @trappedcheese. Yep, that's a real Twitter handle. People get so creative with their handles.
They sure do.
Yeah. Anyway, Trap Cheese said that he or she, not quite sure of the sex of Trap Cheese. Oh, speaking of, have you heard the term woke before?
How, like in what?
Okay, so woke apparently means when people are woke or awoken about their sexual identity. And being woke is basically, from what I understand, not believing in sexual differences or racial differences. So everyone is just a human, which I think is what we all call human anyway. But anyway, you're called woke when you sort of know who you are. So with people transitioning, they're woke when they realize that they've won a transition. Anyway, it was just a new...
I did not know that.
Yeah, young kid term that I learned via the internet over the weekend when I was laying in bed. Well, that's where I learned it.
Okay, give us some Fan Corner.
Yeah, so Fan Corner. So anyway, Trap Cheese, I hope you're woke and you don't have to have a male or female gender. I just hope that you're woke. I don't know who you are. But anyway, Trap Cheese couldn't spend the holiday with the family, so they were pleased to be with us at the dog show on Thanksgiving Day. It's really sweet. We've got another one at Cat Marhill. Hope you're woke. Tara and Johnny making walking and talking while holding show dogs look effortless and flawless since 2015. another reference to the dog show. And then, what am I doing? What's going on? I can't read my own handwriting, guys. Oh, so at Felicia.L.E is new to the podcast, but she's been binge listening. And she's on a job hunt, so I thought we should wish her good luck on the job hunt.
Yes, good luck.
Yeah, winter's here. So, yeah, I feel like that's kind of it.
We're done.
I'm too tired to talk anymore. So Guys, as always, you can follow us on social media at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara and Johnny. Get in there with your yays and your nays, and we'll be happy to receive you. Be careful with the direct messaging because we don't need your dirties. And we do get more than you would think because we have literal quadrillions of listeners. And some of you take it too far. But anyway, follow us and be part of our family on the social media. We love you so much and are so thankful for you. And until next time, bye.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded. Thank you.